Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Let's continue to talk about tennis today. It's a pretty popular sport these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting more popular here in Taiwan because we have some homegrown talent. And Liu Yanchun as well. He's a handsome devil to boot,
yeah.
And he's a good tennis player. We will continue talking about tennis in today's program. Last time we talked about the history of tennis, where it started off with French monks in monasteries hitting this ball back and forth. Later we had the rackets, and then the English got a hold of the game, and the king and queen liked it, and now it's really popular. Everybody has heard of tennis now.
Okay, everybody, we're going to read through our article, and then we'll be back to discuss it. Between the time when tennis was conceived on the courts of French monasteries and the present day, the game jumped from small courts to the big stage. The highest level of the game is now played at the four majors: Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, the French Open, and the Australian Open. Winning all four of these tournaments in one year is called a Grand Slam. The highest achievement is arguably the Golden Slam, which is when a player wins all four majors in one year, plus a gold medal in tennis at the Olympic Games. So far, only one player, Steffi Graf, has ever achieved a Golden Slam. The oldest of the majors is Wimbledon, which was first played in 1877. Held in June and July in London, Wimbledon is the only major to be played on grass. Wimbledon is also famous for its traditions, such as the strawberries and cream eaten by spectators, and for its royal patronage. In addition, no corporate advertising is permitted on the courts, and all players must adhere to a mostly white dress code while playing. The U.S. Open, played in New York, seats more tennis enthusiasts than any of the other majors. It was also the first to feature instant replay screens, so people can see where the ball lands when contentious players challenge calls. These 3D screens can be viewed by the players, umpires, the fans in the stadium, as well as people watching on TV or online. There is no question that tennis pros have their work cut out for them each year as they train and compete in pursuit of the coveted Grand Slam.
Okay, let's talk about the content of today's lesson. Are you ready? Let's go. Now, here's the first sentence. It reads, between the time when tennis was conceived on the courts of French monasteries and the present day, the game jumped from small courts to the big stage. So here, let's talk about the word conceive here. Between the time when tennis was conceived on the courts, to conceive something means that some idea comes forth and people act on that idea. To conceive something, to think of something, to consider something.
To create something, we actually use this verb a lot when a child is conceived. When a lady gets pregnant, you conceive a child. Here we're just saying you thought of this great idea. So you're thinking up something, you're creating this thing in your mind. I also wanted to mention, we're not really playing tennis on a big stage, right?
No.
Here it goes from small courts to the big stage. The big stage here represents the idea where very large groups of people are watching. You've got tons of people watching, so it's almost like you're on a big stage.
It's like you're on a big stage, and you sort of are, actually, but
yeah.
You're on a tennis court surrounded by wild fans who are cheering you on. So, in other words, basically, tennis became popular over a period of time. Now, the highest level of the game is now played at the four majors, the four major tournaments, including Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, the French Open, and the Australian Open. The Australian Open is the first one in the year. Later on, you've got the French Open, which is also referred to as Roland Garros.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you've got Wimbledon, which is in the summer, which is right now. And then later in the fall, I think it's in September or something like that. I'm not quite sure because I never lived in Queens where it takes place, but that takes place in the fall sometime, and that's the last major tournament of the year.
Seems like it's late August, early September, because I have been to the U.S. Open. I know it was still hot because I remember thinking, wow, it's hot out here. And they're on those hard courts, so they're really sweating. The players are, at least. Those are the four major tournaments. Of course, there are others. But the big players all make sure they play those four tournaments each year for sure. But they can make money playing in smaller tournaments spread throughout the year as well.
In different places like Montreal and Cincinnati and probably some places in the Middle East as well.
Uh-huh.
Well, winning all four of these tournaments in one year is called a Grand Slam. In our last lesson, we talked about the word tournament, but again, these Grand Slam competitions can be referred to as tournaments, like a basketball tournament or something like that. And these particular tournaments, when all put together, and if you win all four of them, you have won a Grand Slam. Isn't that fantastic?
You can also win a Grand Slam in the game of tennis if you win all of the major tennis tournaments as well. So that's kind of cool. The highest achievement that you can possibly achieve in tennis is arguably the Golden Slam, which I must admit I'd never heard of before, and I follow tennis. The Golden Slam is the Grand Slam plus winning the gold medal in tennis at the Olympic Games.
Ooh.
So you have to be lucky and win the year that tennis is offered in the Olympic Games. Arguably means, we use this as a word to say this could possibly be true. It's not certain that it's true, but you could certainly argue it. You might even win the debate because you have good reason. So there are a lot of good reasons why we say that this is the highest achievement in tennis.
Or you could go to a special shop in Taipei and eat their bowl of beef noodles and say, oh, this is arguably the best beef noodles I've ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It could be argued that. It could be stated. It could be debated that
uh-huh.
way, and lots of people might believe it. So in any case, yes, if you win all four Grand Slams and also the tennis gold medal, then you've won a Golden Slam. And, well, only one person has done this, Steffi Graf. She achieved this in the past. She's the only one who has ever achieved a Golden Slam. I wonder when she did that.
Yeah, she was a pretty wonderful tennis player. I remember her.
Where was she from, anyway? Like Switzerland?
Germany.
Germany, okay.
She's German, yeah. Steffi Graf.
Graf.
Yeah.
Graf
so
Zeppelin, right?
The oldest of the majors is Wimbledon. It's been around the longest out of all of the tournaments. It started first. It was first played in 1877.
Wow, that's a long time ago. So Wimbledon has been around for a long time. That's probably one of the reasons we're talking about tennis today, because it is the summer now, and Wimbledon is taking place in June and July in London, and it's also the only major tournament to be played on grass. Whereas the other tournaments are played on different surfaces, the U.S. and the Australian tournaments are played on hard courts, whereas the French Open is played on clay, and they all have their different characteristics. Grass is unusual, and some players are better on grass, but bad on clay, and some are better on hard courts than they are on grass. It kind of depends on the person.
Yeah. The hard court is just simply made out of a substance that looks like a sidewalk, right? Concrete.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the tennis courts I've played on throughout my life have been hard courts.
Hmm.
I've never played on a clay surface. That would be amazing.
I've seen clay courts here in
yeah.
Taiwan sometimes.
Oh, really?
I can't remember where, but
wow.
Some people do play on clay courts. They must have their advantages and disadvantages. But again, Wimbledon is taking place this summer, and so you might expect to see some wonderful action on a grass court. Now, Wimbledon is also famous for its various traditions. For example, strawberries and cream, they can be eaten by spectators. A spectator is somebody who goes to watch a show or a sports tournament. And, of course, strawberries are very tasty. They're even tastier if you put cream on them.
A spectator is an interesting word. This is a noun, but we also have another noun that sounds similar, spectacles. Spectacles is an old term for glasses, eyeglasses that a lot of people wear today. So when you think of a spectacle, it's something that's kind of cool to see. Spectator, spectacles, they're all related terms. A lot of English words work like that. We'll take a root or foundation of the word and then change the endings or even the beginnings of the word. But they all have something in common.
And also, Wimbledon is known for its royal patronage.
Uh-huh.
Patronage means that you actually are a customer. You support some kind of business or some kind of activity. So this means that the kings and the queens go to this tournament. They provide lots of prize money for the tournament or whatever. So they are giving their patronage.
Sometimes you'll hear people say to you after you finish eating at a restaurant, thank you for your patronage. If you're a patron of a particular store, it means you go there a lot and you spend money. Patronage, as Tom mentioned, can also mean that you support by giving money in terms of donations to a particular organization. Maybe you're a patronage of a new hospital. You have given money, donated money to help that hospital run. The royal family loves tennis, and so they always support Wimbledon. You'll see them in the stands if you watch TV.
It will be very exciting, but right now we're going to take a little bit of a break and listen to our Chinese teacher, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, 大家好, I'm Tim. 欢迎大家回到第二天的课程。我们要继续跟大家谈谈网球这个运动。首先我们看到第一段的第一句。Between the time when tennis was conceived on the courts of French monasteries and the present day, the game jumped from small courts to the big stage. 从法国僧侣发明网球，一直到今时今日，网球由小的球场要上了大舞台。句中的生字 conceive 这个动词就表示构思或者设想的意思。例如 ,The author conceived the idea of a series of novels.这位作者萌生出撰写一系列小说的想法，而 conceive 还有另外一个意思，就表示怀孕、怀胎的意思。例如 ，Women should give up alcohol before they plan to conceive， 就表示女性在计划怀孕之前应该要戒酒。而这个字的名词 conception， conception， 就表示概念、观念的意思。例如。The movie's unusual conceptions were difficult to understand. 这部电影的概念很奇怪，让人非常难懂。而接下来我们看到第一段的第四句 The highest achievement is arguably the Golden Slam, which is when a player wins all four majors in one year, plus a gold medal in tennis at the Olympic Games. 金满贯则可以说是网球比赛的最高荣誉。指的是一名球员于一年内同时赢得四大满贯赛，并夺下奥运的金牌。句中的生字 arguably 这个副词，就表示可以说是或者是称得上是什么什么的意思。例如 ，She is arguably the best singer of the 20th century。她可以说是二十世纪最好的歌手。而这个字的形容词就是 arguable，a r g u a b l e。表示待争论或者是引人争议的意思。例如 ,The point made during the speech is arguable. 这段演讲里的论点是引人争议的。接下来我们看到这一段的最后一句 ,So far, only one player, Steffi Graf, has ever achieved a Golden Slam. 至今唯有 Steffi Graf, 这名球员获得金满贯的殊荣。Steffi Graf, 格拉夫他是一位德国的选手。他在1988年时就得到了四大公开赛的冠军，当时他才19岁，他也成为史上第三位网球大满贯的女子单打选手。尤其值得注意的是，在1988年举行的汉城奥运会上，格拉夫也同时夺得了金牌，而他也成为至今唯一一位的年度金满贯选手。She is arguably the best tennis player ever. 他真的称得上是有史以来最棒的网球选手。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We've been talking about between the time that tennis was conceived to the present day.It really has changed quite a bit. It went from being played on these little tiny courts to getting the attention of the whole world. When some of these majors are on TV, I think a lot of people change their schedules so they can watch the games. It's kind of fun when a big tournament is being held. I know when Wimbledon is being played, I like to catch it on TV. It's kind of fun. Well, we talked about how the fact that Wimbledon is the oldest of all the majors. We first started playing it back in 1877.
Wow.
Yeah, it's held in a little suburb of London called Wimbledon itself. It's a tiny little city. It's kind of a cute, charming town. It's the only major to be played on grass. I've never played on a grass court either. Have you, Tom?
No, not tennis, but I have played soccer on grass before and baseball.
That's not a court.
Football and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, true. I don't know where I could find actually grass.
That's a grass field.
Actual grass court. Yeah. Somebody somewhere here in Taiwan must have a grass court. But that's what makes Wimbledon special. It's played on a grass court. They've also got these traditions, royal patronage and royal support. We've got strawberries and cream that you can buy from vendors at the stadium. Also, no corporate advertising is permitted on the courts. Corporate here means having to do with companies or corporations. You will see corporate advertising on courts like at the Australian Open and maybe the other ones too. I'm not quite sure. New York, you'll see them there?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Like, what is it, the Chase Manhattan Bank or something like that advertises for that. You'll see their little logo there. But Wimbledon does not allow that. Also, they have a dress code here. All players must adhere to this mostly white dress code while playing. So if you adhere to something, that means something sticks to something else. I need some glue so I can make this poster adhere to the wall. That's one meaning, but here adhere to means you follow the rules that have been prescribed by somebody. You adhere to those rules, you follow those rules, you respect them.
We talked about how corporations aren't permitted or allowed to advertise on the courts. Advertising here in this particular article is the business of creating ads or advertisements. An advertisement is something that's shown to or presented to the public. It's an attempt to try to sell a product, promote a product, get something more popular out there among us. Advertising helps. It can be a commercial, which is shown on TV. There can be a commercial on the radio that you listen to. An advertisement in a magazine is just called an ad, not a commercial. A commercial has to be either seen or heard. But if you just see something in a newspaper, it's an ad or advertisement. So there's no advertising. And like Tom said, you have to obey or adhere to the dress code. Here it says mostly white. It used to be completely white.
Ooh.
And then some of the girls started breaking the rules. They would wear little stripes of red or pink. And then Wimbledon had to change the rules. So it's now mostly white.
The rules are always changed for the girls.
You know what we say? We bend the rules.
Bend them and eventually they get broken.
Yeah.
Whereas the guys try to do that, they get sent away and sent to jail and executed and stuff like that.
Yeah, but we got to look cute while we're playing tennis.
Of course, it's all about looks.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case here, let's review again the traditions of the Wimbledon tournament here. We've got it's being played on grass. We've got cream and strawberries. We've got royal patronage. We've got no corporate advertising. And we've got a white dress code.
Mm-hmm.
Dress code is a system of rules on how you should dress. When you go to big cities, sometimes if you go to fancy restaurants, you might see a sign that says they have a dress code there. So that means you have to wear nice clothing in there. You can't go in there wearing shorts and sandals and a T-shirt. You have to look respectable with a suit or a proper dress or something like that. That means they have a dress code. They have rules about what kinds of clothes you have to wear.
Now let's move on to the U.S. Open. Again, it's played in New York in an area called Queens, New York. It seats more tennis enthusiasts than any of the other majors. So more people can see these games live. That's what it means. An enthusiast is just another word for a fan. You can be an enthusiast of games or even different hobbies. You may be a photography enthusiast. Well, it was the first major to feature instant replay screens. So you can look up at these large screens and see instant replays of some calls to see if the umpire got it right. A lot of times in these tennis matches, the players will argue about whether the umpire called the right call. If the ball landed inside the line or outside the line, those points are pretty important. So people sitting in the stands can see where the balls land. When contentious players challenge calls and say, hey, I don't agree with that. Contentious is a word that means it causes a lot of arguing. Politics can be a contentious topic. It can cause a lot of people to start arguing. So these 3D screens can be viewed by the players, the umpires, and the fans that are sitting in the stadiums. An umpire is just someone who controls the play of the game, makes sure all the players follow the rules.
Right, and also an umpire is related to a referee, but an umpire is kind of like the final judge. He has the final call on this, so we've got the umpire there sitting in that high chair there, and he's making the decisions there. Again, players can ask for instant replay. I believe that software program is called Hawkeye, if I'm not mistaken. And it does look kind of 3D. You see the ball going down toward the line, and you can see if the ball was in or if it was out. And, yeah, I think that's pretty necessary because that ball does move pretty fast, and sometimes the line judge does get it wrong.
I wanted to mention we use the word umpire for the guys who control the baseball games or a tennis match, like we just said, or even cricket. But we use the word referee for football games, American football, and also for basketball games. Don't call guys that have striped shirts on in basketball games umpires. They're referees.
And sometimes they're called refs for short. Okay, so in any case, we've got the umpires here. And the players can see these replays of the ball going in or out of the line. So that's quite entertaining. I guess according to this article, the U.S. Open was the first major to use this, but now it's used at all the major tournaments. Contentious, as you said, means they like to argue. And, of course, that reminds me of a good old John McEnroe back in the 70s. Boy, he was a hothead. But I think nowadays we've got some other hotheads out there who don't like the calls. Like Sharapova, I think she gets
Serena Williams,
yeah, she's notorious for
that. She got fined and banned because she used a bad word.
Yeah, naughty girl. And then later on, she kind of, shrugs it off. Oh, that was no big deal, you know. You got to understand, it was during the heat of the moment, so I can be forgiven for that. But in any case here, yeah, sometimes the players are not satisfied with the decisions of the umpires, so they ask for instant replay. And, of course, you can see them both live at the show or at the tournament and on TV. Well, overall, this is our conclusion here. Tennis pros or professional tennis players have their work cut out for them each year as they train and compete in pursuit of that coveted Grand Slam.
If you have your work cut out for you, it's a phrase we use to mean you're facing a difficult task, something that's really challenging, but you have to face it in order to succeed. So they've got quite a difficult challenge ahead of them as they train each year and try to pursue this coveted Grand Slam. If you're in pursuit of something, you're chasing it. That's your goal. You're trying to get what you want. And if something's coveted, it means somebody wants or desires something very much that they don't have already. Maybe you covet a really nice car, or maybe you covet having a job as a sports announcer on TV. It's something you really, really want.
Isn't that in the Ten Commandments, thou shall not covet something or other?
Thy neighbor's wife only.
Right. Yeah, don't desire after your neighbor's wife. You'll get in big trouble if you do that. But in any case here, that brings us to the end of our discussion for today. Enjoy Wimbledon, everybody. It's going to be going on here very shortly. But right now, we'd like to take a time out and listen to our Chinese teacher.
接下来我们看到第二段的最后一句. In addition, no corporate advertising is permitted on the courts, and all players must adhere to a mostly white dress code while playing. 除此之外, 球场中禁止出现任何的商业广告, 而所有球员也必须遵守规则, 穿着接近全白的球衣出赛. 这边的 corporate 就是形容词, 表示企业的意思. 例如, baseball games make a lot of money from corporate sponsorship. 棒球比赛透过企业赞助赚进了很多钱。 而这个字的名词 corporation, C-O-R-P-O-R-A-T-I-O-N, 就表示公司或者企业的意思，而后面的一个片语 adhere to 就表示遵守的意思。例如 Every student should adhere to the school rules， 每位学生都应该要遵守校规。而另外我们常听到的两个动词 observe 或者是 follow， 通常是用来表示遵守比较不严格的规定，例如是习俗等等。You should observe the local customs when you go abroad， 当你出国的时候应该要遵守当地的习俗。接下来看到第三段的第三句， These 3D screens can be viewed by the players, umpires, the fans in the stadiums as well as people watching on TV or online。 球员、裁判、场内的球迷以及电视及电脑前的观众全都能够透过 3D 荧幕观赏。句中的生字 umpire 就表示裁判的意思，这边指的是像运动比赛、网球、棒球等等，裁判不需要跟着球员跑的比赛，因为我们就称作 umpire。 但是像篮球、足球这些运动，裁判需要跟着球员跑的，英文叫做 referee， R-E-F-E-R-E-E， 同学要记得分清楚。而最后我们看到第三段的最后一句，There is no question that tennis pros have their work cut out for them each year as they train and compete in pursuit of the coveted Grand Slam. 无疑的，这些专业球员每年都面对巨大的挑战，因为他们的训练及努力都是为了追求梦寐以求的大满贯奖杯。句中的片语 have one's work cut out for somebody 就表示面临巨大的挑战。举个例子来说， We are training a completely new team.So we've got our work cut out for us. 我们正在训练一批全新的队伍，对我们来说是相当巨大的一个挑战。
That's all the time we have for today. Everybody, thanks for joining us, and we would greatly appreciate your deciding to come and join us again next time. For English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.